Yay, how's everyone doing? This is the Finished Works brand, Milk versus Solid Food. We are back with on a small hiatus. Had to get our ducks in a row and, you know, life happens. So, but we're back for this fine Sunday. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed time, man. Spending time with family, or if you got to work, hopefully this podcast will get you through when you hear it. My man Courtney's on the other line.
What's going on, people? Happy Sunday, man.
Happy Sunday.
The Lord's Day, as we call it.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody is doing good, enjoying your family.
Absolutely.
Kick it with us for an hour, man. We got some various topics we're going to get into. Everything's random today, man. I don't know. Structure.
I got a little structure.
We just going to go with
it. I know it's random on your end. I got a little, though. I thought some good stuff. Actually, you do know. You do know. You see when we start talking. You know. Right. Yeah, you do know. But yeah, man, thanks for tuning in, man. Go visit I like to get all this stuff out the way. But go visit the page, Instagram page, the Finished Works Brand podcast. I mean, the Finished Works Brand podcast. The Finished Works Brand at Instagram, finishedworksbrand.com for our merch. Go check us out. Thanks for supporting everyone that's been liking and following their Instagram page. We definitely appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, everyone at the schools, everyone at our jobs, and everyone, just anyone we've encountered that ask about the, you know, stickers and everything that has anything to do with us and this brand of ours, you know, that we've been trusted from the Lord. We appreciate y'all asking. So thanks for tuning in, man. Courtney, what's good? I feel like I ain't really spoke to you this much. It's like here and there, man, hit or miss within the last week. But what's been going on?
Yeah, it has been, man. It's just been just super busy, man. You know, the same thing, just managing the family, man.
Yeah.
Working and just getting some things in the world and getting some things in order.
Yeah.
In the background, man. So the roots are busy underneath the soil.
Explain that. Explain that, Mr. Philosopher Courtney.
Yeah, well, what I mean by that, man, there's a lot of things in the background, man, that is co-mingling.
In the background of the brand, you mean?
Yeah, the brand, and then personally as well, man, as far as just being a husband and father as well, too, putting things in order, man, to be even more impactful in the household and impactful when it comes to the brand as well, too. So that's what I mean by that. When you see everything come to fruition, that's when you'll see that stem poke out of the dirt, couple of leaves, and then we'll soon the blossom, man, in the near future.
You know, me and Nick Lace, the guy who handles our sound in the background for anyone that's new listening in. But me and Nick had a conversation off the mic, and he said a lot of people want to be entrepreneurs, but they never see like the background, or some of them probably don't even want to go through what you got to do in the background. You know, you just want to be seen with the product. You want to be seen doing this and that. You know what I mean? So say that line you just said, the roots are deep behind. Say that again.
No. Oh, the roots are busy underneath the soil.
Okay. So, and I'm assuming they're long, full grown roots. You know what I mean? Deep into the soil, because that's how you stay put. And
not necessarily.
Why not?
Well, 50-50, because...
No, I'm listening, mostly, man.
Oh, well, mostly, like, okay, I've never seen a tree, and I got this from my pastor. I never seen a tree get up and walk across the street. It always dug deeper to get to water to tap into, man, so it can nourish itself and grow even more. And, as far as like what Nick and you guys were talking about, as far as being an entrepreneur, I always look at people like, is that more of a, I would say a colloquialism, as far as just saying something to say, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur? Or are you just saying, like, so you want to be rich? Or you want fame? Like, what is it that you're really seeking if you're saying, I want to be an entrepreneur? Because I follow a guy, man, that is a mentor to thousands of businesses. When people tell him that they're an entrepreneur, he's like, what does that mean? I mean, are you working? Are you a boss? Do you have a product? Like, what do you mean by entrepreneur? Or you just sit at home on your butt and pretend to be something you're not? So, you know, it's a lot of
questions
that
go
into that.
What is a boss? Because we in culture, especially like hip hop culture, we hear that all the time. Like, I got to boss up, or I need to be a boss. Let's break that down. What is that?
Well, a boss is somebody who manages a business, who has a vision, and who writes checks.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay, that's good criteria.
Somebody who gives orders as well. So you can, like, let's not get mixed in with hip hop terms and think, oh, well, I'm a boss, man, because I got a lot of money in my pocket. No, a boss is somebody, man, who manages, who is responsible for not only his employees, but his employees' families, too. Because the employees depend on that boss to have a vision, to bring income to, you know, and revenue to pay his employees so their employees can go home and, you know, provide for their families. So it's a lot of responsibility that comes with that title.
And in a sense, it's kind of like when, you know, Christ was talking to anyone, and actually it was my man Paul, but, you know, inspired from Christ. Anyone that's in a seat of a pastor that's entrusted with a herd of people, you know what I mean, a.k.a. a herd of sheep. You have to, you know what I mean, you're going to help manage some of their lives and the sins that they have, and you're going to help, you know, that deteriorate through the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, a pastor is also, I guess, being, now I want to say a boss, because you're not lording your title over the pews, but you're managing in a sense as well. You know what I mean?
Hold on.
Please, go ahead.
It goes back into the post you posted earlier this week. A boss is a server.
Yeah, right. We're saying the same thing, just different words.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, you're a servant to many people, you know? I love that picture, by the way, too, man. That was a great post.
Thank you. I'm trying to do something like that every week since I'm at the school, just try to get creative. And for that, the picture that Courtney's talking about, I say serve like a waiter. That's what I say. Go check it out on the page, the Instagram page. But that reminds me, so my birthday was on February 4th, this past Monday, and I was actually listening to a sermon, like, all week, The Drum Major Instinct by Dr. King, and that's actually what the premise of that sermon was about, The Drum Major Instinct. I'm from the South, or I used to live in the South, and for me, man, I used to watch the band growing up, especially being around the HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, and the band was life. The drummer was life. Your drummer was the bad son of a gun that was always out there, man. But I didn't know that as a kid, but as I got older, it was the band that made the drummer look good, you know what I mean? The drummer, yeah, the drummer gets his solo, and, you know, he gets to step out in front of the whole herd of people and do his dance move, you know what I mean? Kind of like Drumline, the movie with Nick Cannon, in a sense. But, you know, he becomes a man. But what I'm saying is, man, a lot of humans have that instinct where we want to be distinct. And some of it, I think we use the term, when I say we, like people, we use the word, I need to boss up just to distinct ourselves away from the rest. That's not the way Christ wants us to be. You know what I'm saying? We want to boss up, and like you said, it's about money. It's a way to be ahead of the class, and they don't think about the management. And that's what we're saying too. Like, we grow roots into the ground, man. It's going to be management. It's going to be listening to people's problems and help take care of their personalizing families and stuff like that. That's how you grow roots, man. You know what I mean? You're easily uprooted by just getting money, and then you're gone. So when it comes to entrepreneurship or anything that's distinctive, like, if you don't serve the people, because serving your employees and their family is just serving the people for the Lord. If you don't do that, man, you won't have any roots. You'll be easily uprooted and up out of here.
Can't be a boss, period, unless you work for somebody first. Are you going to learn how to lead people if you've never been led before?
Because employees employees give acknowledgement to good bosses. That's how you know you're a boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't just, and that's my thing. We got to call this out too. you can't give yourself a nickname. You know what I'm saying? Like, any nickname that I have has been given to me. Even Jay, even Yellow Boy. Any nickname that I have ever had has been given to me. So if you just call it yourself Courtney the Boss, D-A, not T-H-E, Courtney the Boss, I'm going to look at you sideways. Who gave you that name? What's the origin of that name? Why are you the boss? You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, man. You can't give yourself no nickname, man. That's like a dude showing up on the court. But hey, what's your name, man? You trying to play teams? Oh, they call me the bouncer because I got bounce. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you gonna look at him lame, bro, man.
Right.
Especially he ain't jumping out no gym. Like, I've always had that issue when it came to sports too, man. Like, who gave you this name?
Oh man, I had cats. Oh man, I'm the light skinned Iverson.
Oh
had
my no gosh.
Whatsoever.
Goodness gracious.
They couldn't even finish a combination of dribbling, bro, before they lost the ball.
Oh my goodness, man. Yeah, you can't give yourself middle name, bro. Nickname, not middle name. No nickname, cuz. Yeah.
Hey, I think R.A. Vernon said it best, man.
What'd he say?
You know, I think he said, listen, you want somebody to call you a doctor, man, go to school and do the work of a doctor so they can call you that. You get the degree. Roots.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Before they can call you, they'll call you that when you are that. You know what I mean? If you just can't go, self-proclaiming and give yourself a false sense of confidence. And I'm not throwing rocks. I gave myself a nickname, man, which is Sinatra. I gave myself that, but that was an alias, man, of a carnal-minded individual at that time. You know, check the page again at the Finish Works Brand on Instagram. You'll see a throwback of Jay and I on that thing. That was him.
Yeah, man, I got a gripe with you, man. You got to get the whole picture, man. You ain't put. We got money on the floor. We so stupid. We got money on the floor. I'm sorry. No, wait. Time out. It wasn't no we. Wait, you said that was Spencer's money?
No, that was our money.
No. That was your money. I was broke.
It had the whole picture of the shoes on there. It just had the upper body on there.
Oh, I think I got the picture, man. That look, man. Here, I was so lame. I acted like some of that was mine. Now, $1 of that money was mine on the ground.
That was 301. and the backstory to that, man, my aunt and my uncle was like, you know, you can go to the Salvation Army and get a tax write off with that, right? Mm. And then my cousin was like, well, you can come to the strip club with me, man, and throw it there.
Wait, what?
I was like, no, I'm finna go to the club where my peers at, so I can make it seem like I'm more than what I am.
Yeah.
I ain't say it like that, but I'm saying it from this point of view now. Then I was like, I'm not finna get the clout. Dang, that's the term that that's now here. I'm not finna get the little, you know, I would say, what the term we said last week? We said a few weeks ago. I'm not finna get the hood fame or the neighborhood or the city fame that I'm seeking for if I do it at the strip club or if I do it at the Salvation Army.
So my question is, since we segue from giving our, you know, a self-proclaimed name, you were trying to give yourself self-value by doing that. That's you.
That, and I was baiting.
Of course. It's part of the package.
I was trying to get as many numbers as I could. And I was trying to go home with somebody's daughter.
That's part of the clout package, man.
That was the clout package.
Yeah, that's the clout package.
I was strategic to doing that. But see, me, I was like, if I throw this at the club or at the strip club, I don't want none of them girls. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They are, you know, they naked and dancing. I'm cool. But, I mean, it's the same thing getting somebody at the club that I didn't know.
Who?
You know, it would have been on the same path. But that's what I was on that night.
Who gives you value? Yeah, since you found out that wasn't your value. You were trying to use that to say that you had this amount of value, even though it was 301. So who gives you the value that counts? I don't even want to say clout. Where do you get that from?
I would say lack of affirmation on my part.
And this is for any young man, male or
that's
female.
Listening, yeah. Okay, so if you look at that picture, man, All right, if we go back to that.
Oh, point, she had the whole pick, man. I gotta find that.
You got, yeah, you gotta find that. But okay, that was a young Courtney Douglas that his dad wasn't in his life. He had men in and out of his life from uncles and cats around the neighborhood that would always drop small nuggets. But when I started, you know, and I heard this from a Cardinal source, when you start paying your own bills or you know, you grown, you do whatever you want to, most people can't say nothing to you. So I was already at that point anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, for me at that point, and I guess you could, I could speak for you on this too, Jay, we had decent jobs where I was pulling down for myself at that time, being what, 22 or maybe younger?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was younger. I was like 19, yeah, maybe. I was, we still in high school. So I'm pulling down $1,500 to $1,700 every 2 weeks. I feel like I'm, man, that was like $100,000 to me. So for me to have all my bills paid up, my own vehicle, my own job, my own spot, bills was paid up, of course. I had money in the account. I took out 301s. I was on to something. You know, you couldn't tell nothing.
I was on
point,
to
right?
something.
You know? So, and then I was, what's the, and that right there, that hoodie that I had on was a one of one. That's the same spot that Mike Jones got his hoodie from. Geno Green Global.
Yeah, that's how old this is. Nick just looked at me like, wait, what?
yeah,
Nick.
This was all Nick. So that was a custom hoodie.
Yep.
So
Nick just pulled the picture up.
and we went to the holiday tournament on that one. And it was perfect timing. We showed up just right when everybody was in there sitting, and we walked across the whole floor. So everybody in the auditorium seen what me and Jay had on. And
that was that's the epitome of the drum major instinct. The epitome. That is
the
epitome.
Bro, they should have rolled out a red carpet and blew a trumpet for your boy. Because I felt like I was on cloud. I was on cloud 1,000. I had all the girls looking at me. It was a one girl in particular. I ain't going to say her name. I was trying to get with for the longest. After I left that gymnasium, my phone was blowing up until I got to the club.
Trying to be a
hey, my
star.
Friend, won't you? This and that. And I said, mission accomplished. So I took my fishing pole.
This is crazy.
I flung it out there, and they was biting the bait. And I pulled them all up.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it was, man. That's how I was feeling at that time. So go back to your original question. My value.
Which word? Where do you receive value from? True value. Because that was the clout bag.
Yeah.
What we said, the clout package.
The clout was that value right there, because I felt like value was having things and making myself seem like I had more than what I had to draw those into me. But where you really get value from, man, is knowing who you are in Christ. That's where you get your real value from. But you got to have some people to really sit you down and tell you about yourself, man. It comes like when your heart's broken, you know, like when I have that,
okay, there,
that coming
yeah.
to Christ moment, like when your heart's broken, when you can't
like
go
the hardness
to,
of it.
Yeah, when you're because like your heart has to be broken at some point.
That's humility.
That's just when life situations hit you where you can't pull up, you can't call such, you know, certain people to help you out.
For sure.
Or your mom can't help you, or you get in a situation, man, where all you have is God.
For sure.
Then that's when that's when you start finding out where your real value comes from.
We all have the drum major instinct. We all want to be important, to surpass others and achieve distinction, to lead the parade. But that ain't serving, man.
No, that wasn't. I was self-serving that night.
For sure. You was about to say something. What'd you say?
You talking to Nick or me?
You was about to say something.
Oh, no, man. I lost my train of thought one. I was just thinking about that night in particular, though, man.
Yeah,
but,
man.
Piggyback on that, too, man. I had it. So, oh, man. This is good. Okay. So, after that night, I think it's a shame. I'll say this first. I think it's a shame for people to sell their soul to the devil, because that same puppet master eventually puts the puppets against one another to get to the fame that he promises them.
Break it down.
Well, for a season, Well, what I mean by that, for a season, you'll think that you're winning, and then somebody else comes in the way that's winning, and you feel threatened, or you'll feel envious or jealous when they start taking some of that worldly fame or whatever you think you have in your head that is getting you somewhat of prestige, whether that be, you know, cars, clothes, girls, or just worldly things. When you feel that threatened, you want to go take them out. And that's what I mean by the enemy being the puppet master, putting the puppets against one another, because they're all chasing the same goal, which is fame, which is a complete opposite of Christ or opposite of God. Because what God will do is he'll take that same individual and tear them down and build them back up, put the jersey on them. We all on the same team, and we're seeking him now because he's the one that fulfills all of our wants, period. Where he'll give us that euphoria, that utopia, that wantingness, you know what I mean? That's what we're seeking. But from the other end of that spectrum with the enemy, we're tearing one another down to chase that carrot that's being dangled in front of us. And that's what I mean by that. So to go back into my, you know, what I was, you know, for now, for my story was after that club, people were envious of me and jealous and wanting to take my life.
Yeah, they wanted to kill you.
Rob me. They want to kill me.
Or say rob, but
they want to rob me. They want to do some harm to me, but they want to do some rob. And it took for people.
I remember that.
It took for my own family, man, to really call the wolves off of me. And you, because you was with me. So when they seen me doing all that, you know, throwing the money and all of that, they looked at you, was like, they started plotting. You know what I mean? And these are the same cats that are lost and not saved and already out there in the world. But here I am, portraying something that I seen on TV.
And that goes, that says a lot too. And I didn't know, I'm the new guy. So, you know, I didn't know. I didn't throw a dollar, but I was with you. So someone else's sin can kill physically or, you know, or spiritually multiple people.
Right. You caught up in that crossfire too.
Absolutely. Just because I'm around.
Because they both get money. You know what I mean? Oh, he's on this too. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, that was a dangerous time.
Yeah.
It could have got dangerous though, man. But, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a super mercy and grace, man.
For real.
So Yahweh was able to take, you know, use certain members of the family.
Imagine somebody trying to kill you because it's something someone else did, and you didn't even know somebody was trying to kill you. You're like, man, I'm new to the town. So that's what I'm like. I'm like, wait, what, Cordy?
I called and apologized to you that night. I was like, bruh, be careful out here, man.
You told me, because I thought I was being careful.
No, you weren't being careful.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, man. Not how that city is, man, at the time. How, like I said, I don't know the temperature of the water there now. You know, it might still be the same, though, but for that time and point in 07, 08, that's what it was, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get on Henry Arnold.
Please.
Yeah, man. Arnold Henry. Hopefully I said his name right, man. What did I put on a page? I can't remember. Maybe I posted a picture of a children's book on our page, the Finished Works brand. On Instagram, and I put like maybe the hashtag, I put like children's book or something about fathers. Okay.
I think you put that in the, I don't think that's on the page. It might have been in
I knew what it was. It was five. So I was reading a book called, it's a forward to Donald Miller called Fatherless Generation. I read that book and I just happened to, I took my daughter out for ice cream. And I was reading a book while she was eating the ice cream, and something I read just made me just take a picture of her, man, with the book in the picture. And I put the hashtag, like, maybe like Black Fathers or Fatherless, something like that, man. He got in contact through Henry Arnold, that is, through the hashtag. And he said, please check out my book. I made a children's book. Please check it out. So I went to his page, you know, want to do your research, make sure this ain't just any old guy. And, you know, he might be trying to brainwash your children or whatever in the book. You know what I mean? You never know. So I looked at the book. I was like, oh, this book look cool. And what I noticed was there was a black guy with maybe a biracial baby or whatever. Doesn't matter, but it's a black guy. I've never seen a black male on the front of a book, children's book, especially growing up. That's real.
Right.
I actually have, to this day, I still have the first book that I ever seen with like black characters in it. I made sure I kept that. And I was like 9 years old when I read that book. I still have it. And it's called God Made Me Special. Mm-hmm. I got it in Atlanta, Georgia. But anyway, so back on Henry, man. Man, I ordered a book right on spot that same day, man. You know what I mean? Came like a week later. The first thing I noticed when I opened the package was a rejection letter from a publishing agent. And I'm going to read it right here. It says, hello, Arnold. Thank you for your query regarding your children's book. As a father myself, I love your writing and illustrations. However, in today's market, stories on African-American fathers is such a tough sell. This is the harsh reality, and I wanted to inform you rather than to discourage you. I have determined your project will not be a good fit for my strengths and that I have declined the opportunity to consider it further. Many thanks again for thinking of me. Best of luck. And the right, like big in a big bold font on the page, Arnold put, "Never give up on your dreams. Thank you for supporting Daddy's Mini Me," which is what the book is called.
Yep.
And that hit me hard. Oh, that hit me hard because the book is phenomenal, man. The book is about just the child, his child, doing everything, wanting to be like daddy, which is fathers are the first superheroes that your kids ever see. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the book is about, man. It's about just the bonding and the communion with his son, you know, him embracing fatherhood. It's a beautiful book. My daughter loves that book, reads it almost every night. We read that book all the time. It's a beautiful book. But it hit me hard because I'm like, maybe that's why I never seen a children's book with black characters based around black fathers. Now I'm starting to see, and I know because my daughter has quite a few, I'm starting to see children's books with like curly head black little girls, and my daughter being a curly head black little girl, so you know we get that too, so she can, you know, see diversity. But I never really seen a black book with a father in it, and I'm like, man, maybe this is why. And then this hit me hard, man. So I'm bringing this up in hopes that somebody listens to this, and if you have a child, you go buy it, because it's not a black or white thing, you know what I mean? It's a heart condition, you know, through sin that we need to change. And then also, I want that man's book. Yeah, I'm biased, but I would like his book to be as big as possible. You know what I mean? So hopefully somebody, you know, please go buy his book. Please go check it out, man. Go follow him. It's just a good book, man. It's a really good book for kids. Simple, straight to the point. The illustrations are really vivid. I just want to really big up this book. And I also want to say this to all creators, but especially African-American creators, man. Keep doing what you're doing, because God's promises, God's power is bigger than everyone's no. And I'll just keep it at that. That's what keeps me going, especially with the Finished Words brand.
Yeah, man, absolutely, man. And I agree with all Jay's sentiments on that as well, too. Good read on that. Yeah. Also, too.
What's up? Please go in,
it
man.
It ties back in to what we just talked about, because had I had a father to mimic in the household, I might not have been in the club throwing money or even set myself up for failure,
yeah,
in a sense, or missing God's mark, which is sin, you know? So, I mean, I've probably would have sinned, but I've known that I could have had a standard in the household to look up to, having a godly father.
Yeah, man.
You know, I wouldn't have been out there trying to chase females or look important or try to portray a drug dealer or a pimp's lifestyle.
Yeah, we were, though.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
But that's what we were, man.
For sure. I was trying to do it all.
The music, your movies in which we were watching, man, because we didn't have any direction.
And we didn't even have it. You didn't, you know, as a black kid growing up in the ghetto, you didn't even have, I really, those were the only images I saw. I remember watching Michael Jordan when I was, I had to be like six, but I remember rising up off the couch, man. He did like the double, this is when he did the his legs spread in the air and he did the double pump in the air and hit the shot. I can't remember what he played. I remember watching that early 90s. I remember watching yeah. that. I remember. So I was young,
Hit the jumper over Elo.
Man, I was young. I wanted to be like that. But I mean, look at that, man. I'm what, five at the time? Six at the time, whatever. And it took that long just to see like a father figure.
Right.
That's a long time for a kid, man. Cause my daughter's three and she's trying to jump. She wants to jump rope in the house like me. I shouldn't be jump roping in the house, though. But you know what I mean? She wants to, and this is my daughter. So I can only imagine if I had a son, like, man, I'm a guy. You're a guy, Dad. I want to be just like you. You got three boys over there.
Right.
And I want to say this, man, too. And I'm talking to anyone in faith, man, our brothers and sisters in faith. If you outside of that, then you won't get this. You know what I mean? But to our brothers and sisters in faith, man, pray for black fathers because in the community of African-Americans here, man, we don't, it's less, there's not that many fathers, period. And, you know, we've done a few podcasts where we've quoted statistics on that, but there's even less black fathers. So if you see one, pray for that man. Pray that he can influence other black fathers and other children that are missing their fathers, man. And his kids in general, but especially, you know what I mean, these black kids, man. Because there's a lot more of them without parents. There's a lot more of them without that structure. It's the reason why, right. You know what I mean, African-American males, you know, are mass incarcerated. You know what I'm saying? A lot. And those are stuff that I bring to the church, man. I had a conversation today about that. Just a one-on-one conversation. Actually, one of the guys at church brought it up. So, you know, and I like that because they're feeling comfortable talking about these tough issues that some of our, you know, our brothers, white brothers and sisters, or even Asians or whoever, may not know how to speak about. So, yeah, man, pray, because Courtney, myself, and a few other, or a lot of other black fathers, we're trying to change that mold and break these barriers. We're trying to influence kids and mentor kids, white kids too. Like, we're not just, you know, we're not separating ourselves and not mentoring other races, but there's a lot more, or there's a lot more fatherless black kids too. So, and we come from that. So we are trying to influence that. You know what I mean? So it's not a race thing, but we come from that. We're part of the statistic, and we, by the grace of God, made it up out of those fatherless hell holes.
Exactly, because it could have turned far left before it got far right.
For sure.
You know, so, you know, that's why we're so grateful and we always big up Christ, man, every chance we get, because, you know, we could have been on the news, you know. I mean, there's been plenty of time, especially on my end, just speaking from experience, man, where it could have been all over with.
Yeah, man.
And so, yeah, you know, and like I said, and we're not segregating ourselves
from
ethnicities and not helping, though, but where it's prevalent. And even with the page, man, you know, we don't pick our followers, though. So whenever God gives us an opportunity, man, we don't care what ethnic group it is. If you're a young man who is trying to figure this thing out and you're suffering from a lack of a male in the household, you know, we want to definitely connect with you as well too, and walk you through that, you know, and continue to pray and just give you some advice, man, if you have a receptive ear to hear that,
right?
You know, and that's what we want to do and be here for, you know, because it's terrible growing up like that.
And I'll say this too, man, because I've been one of many blacks in the school, and then I've also been the only black in the high school. You know, I remember going to high school in Xenia, Ohio, where it might have been 10 of us. That might be a stretch, you know. So I'm saying, though, but if you're a believer in Christ, man, go go speak to someone that you wouldn't normally speak to. All people should, but I'm more trying to convict the believer that's not doing that, because you know better. People, right. People outside of that faith, I can't speak on as much. You know what I'm saying? But if you're in this faith, 1 Corinthians 5, I'm allowed to say something inside this church. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm saying is, man, go speak to an Asian or Mexican or, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, someone Latin. I don't want to, you know, disrespect anybody, but someone that's Latin. So go speak to them. Go say, hey, you never know what that's going to do, man. That's going to, you know, cheer someone's day up. And the same thing right. with black folks. Go, hey, same thing. I ain't going to let y'all off the hook. You know what I mean? Go speak to somebody outside the race, man. Say what up. Right. What's good?
You'd be surprised how much you have in common with people as soon as you open up, when you break the ice.
And even if it's not, we got one common denominator. That's Christ Jesus. That's enough. Yep. That's enough.
Real talk yesterday, man, on my route, when I go to my apartments, man, luxury apartments in downtown Knapp, there's a guy that I met. I can't think of his name. We haven't even exchanged names, though. That's my fault, but I'll get his name next time we speak. But next time, I'll get his name and everything. He is, I think, 4 foot tall. And every time that I see him, man, we mm-hmm. always speak. And I just found out, man, that we're both Tar Heel fans. He asked about the brand.
Wait, are you a Tar Heel fan?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay, keep going. I want to. Yeah.
College wise, man.
Yeah, I know. Basketball.
Tar Heels, man.
I didn't even know that.
He likes the Tar Heels too, man, but just small conversation. And me, if you put us next to each other, man, he probably comes up to maybe my hip. You know, but I don't treat him any differently. You know what I mean? I speak to him as a brother. You know what I mean, man? And that's one of the beauties about just breaking ice and having conversations with people.
For sure. So we're gonna leave off on that. We're gonna come back. I gotta go to the bathroom, so we're gonna take a brief break, and then we come back, man. Hit another topic, and then we close it out.
Yeah, man, stay tuned, man. This is Milk versus Solid Food, man. We'll be right back.
For sure. What's up, everyone? I am back from the restroom. I know that's a little TMI, but your boy had to go. I was like, man, I hope Courtney hurry up and finish this sentence, because I got to go. I didn't think I was going to make it, man. I did not, but I did. And we back, man. Part 2, podcast. Courtney, got a question for you.
What's up, man?
When is the first time you had, like, a friend that was not black? Someone, you know, any nationality, ethnicity, I mean.
Oh, when I was in the first grade, my guy Ben from Hoagland Elementary.
Shout out to Ben from Hoagland.
Shout out to Ben, man. Like you said, man, when you was in school, man, you can call a time where it was like maybe 10 or less of y'all of blacks at a particular school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how it was with me, man. In first grade, I got into a lot of fights. At Hoagland, that's where I experienced a lot of racism. We kids out there, man, maybe 10 plus kids, because I think Hoagland went up to maybe sixth grade at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we were first graders, man. So all the kids from Centennial Apartments, man, in Fort Wayne, as soon as you come off the highway, we all got, I guess it was like maybe a mile away to school or whatever, and maybe a mile and a half. But, man, I got kicked out that school so much, man, my mom stayed back and forth on the highway. But after maybe the first 3 to 4 months, everything started to mellow out, man. The kids were friendly, except for my guy Seth and his little crew, aka Roger Klotz and his little compadres. But yeah, Ben and then Jason was another guy, man, who always hung around. We played dodgeball, kickball together. And they really embraced us. And after that, man, more of the kids started opening up. They start seeing how funny I was. I was a class clown back in the first grade anyway.
Oh, I'm sure.
More of the kids were more receptive, man. And then it mellowed out. And then once, I think my last year there was my second grade year. Then third grade, I ended up going over to Village, which was primarily black.
Okay.
But yeah, Ben and Jason, man, were the first two. And shout out to Ben because he reached out to me last year, man, on Facebook.
That's what's up. That's cool. So, you still got, you know, kept in contact.
Yeah. I still do every now and then on the Facebook, though, man. So, yeah, shout out to him, man. Question, same for you.
My first white friend, because I think I'm pretty sure. No, you know what? My first friend, like, outside of being black, were white and Japanese. I'm on the Army base. My boy Paul and Sam Diffendorfer, man. And those boys, man, them white boys was wild. White boys was wild. They used to do some stuff. But those was my partners, man. Those was my partners. We was in Atlanta, Georgia, Fort McPherson, Army base. And I used to stay at night at their house and everything, man. And yeah. And honestly, man, because of the Army, I had always been around other ethnicities, but I never got to really, you know, commune with the other ethnicities, man. But they were
gonna be good, man.
Those two, Paul and Sam Diffendorfer, were they were like my first introduction of knowing that. People do different stuff, just to say the least. And I mean, they did some stuff, cuz. Just crazy stuff. And we went to an all-black school. So I'm in their world, and then we get off the base, go to public school. And they, you know, we to all-black school, man. Shout out to Sylvan Middle School, man. And but we had each other, man. Even inside the school, we had each other, the black people. And I mean, like, they were crazy white boys. They'll fight whoever in a heartbeat, man. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, those right. My boys, cuz. They they will bump. Cause they already have each other, but they love black people. Sam like black girls, man. You know, at the time. And that's all that was around was black girls, not one white girl in the school. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that was my, I thought that was just cool, though. And on the other end, man, when I was around them, you know, it was culture shock for them off the base. It was culture shock for me on the base being around them. But, you know, through basketball and other stuff, man, we became good friends. They were the first people that I got to play Donkey Kong with on the 64.
Yo, let me ask you this.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Who was your first white neighbor?
My first white neighbor?
Yeah.
Say that again. You said family wise?
Yeah, family wise. Like, live next door to you.
You know, once again, that I can remember, I was on a base. It was like maybe a white colonel or something, but I never spoke to him. My mom didn't speak to him. But that's why. Sam and him was like up the street from us, though. Like, okay. I used to walk to their crib on the base because the Army base is a big old world inside of a world, like grocery stores, gyms, bowling alleys, movie theaters, they're the barracks and stuff like that, but they're pretty much home additions, and that's how it was built. So I would just walk down the street, man, and I was there.
Well, for me, I'm glad you brought up the 64, because when we left from Centennial to the Village Woods addition, we stayed on South Colonial Street. That was my mom's first house, man, that she bought. Our neighbors were white. Shout out to Eric, man, because he's the guy that put me on skateboarding and Zelda for the 64, Ocarina of Time. And, man, at first I didn't know he had a sister, man, that was shy, but they would come outside and we played. I was the only child, but then the neighbors on my right-hand side, ghetto,
yeah.
You know, and crazy, you know, just them being in that section, though. But he was cool, man. We would like I said, skateboard.
Yeah.
We would try to start fires. I don't know what you know.
Yeah,
but nothing ever took off. But yeah, he's the one that put me on Zelda on the 64, man. I mean, he's been in my house. I've been in his.
That's what's up.
Man, got along just fine, man. So I got shout out to Eric.
I just thought about it, too. I think, like, my first really interaction with, like, a white person, though, I had to be, this is my old neighborhood on the west side of Toledo. So every summer I was in Toledo, Ohio. Every single summer. It didn't matter where I was at in the country. My grandma made me come to Toledo, Ohio. And her landlord was white and lived upstairs in these duplexes we lived in the neighborhood. Where that neighborhood helped me grow some roots for real and, you know, just be part of who I am today. But his name was Jeff, man. And he was just a nice white man. And he didn't care about what we looked like. He didn't care how I was talking or how my grandma, you know, my grandma talked loud. Of course, my grandma was very personable. If you meet her, very personable. The one and only Ramona Collins. But that was he would even pay me to cut the grass. He was just nice. I appreciated that from him. You know, he even showed me how to cut the grass. You know what I mean? Like, he was just a nice man. And I appreciate what he did to my grandma, just, you know, giving her a place to stay. So that was another one. And Sam, also through food, man, I was able communion through food because Sam and them would cook some weird stuff. Like I said, their dad was white and their mom was from Japan. And they would, you know, they make some stuff. It'd be, you know, some type of chicken with, you know, some sauce. I don't really know what it is, but it's fire. And it might be like some oysters. You know what I mean? Like just stuff that is different from what I'm used to. But it was fire. I would eat it. You know what I mean? They were cool, man. They were cool. Yeah. So and I'm bringing up all this too, man, just to say it's okay with not having something in common with someone of a different race. Or even if you do have something in common, that's great. But right. Go talk to somebody, man. Find common ground. Like Paul said, I find common ground to spread the gospel. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Oh, you got on a green shirt? Hey, I got that same green shirt at home. Oh, you skateboard? Hey, I know someone that skateboards too. Oh, you watch the game? Like, you find common ground with someone, man. There's something, right. Bro. There's something. And the cool thing about us, like, our common ground is Christ right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's Christ. So, you live in Christ? Let's do it. Let's go talk. You know what I mean? So be open to people. And you never know, man. They might not believe in what you believe in, but your job is to stand firm in your faith. Your job is to stand firm in what you believe in and rep Christ, regardless. You know what I mean? Regardless. And your job is to also serve. Man, you want to be good at something? Then serve. Serve can just be being nice to somebody. Serve can literally be feeding someone, giving a shirt off your back to someone, shoes off your feet to someone. But you serve. You want to be good at something in life, then go serve people. Because, you know what I mean? You might not jump the highest. You might not run the fastest. You might not be the smartest in class. But you can always be good at serving. So
exactly.
And shout out to MLK, man. That's what not having the drum major instinct is. Okay, go serve, man. Serve, serve. That's what Christ wants. Go serve. You want to be good. I repeat, if you want to be good at something, serve.
Yeah.
So if you're on the football team, serve, man. If you want to, you know what I mean, chess club, serve, man. Go serve. And it's even better, man. You get greater gain when you serve someone that you're not even cool with. Because like Christ said, man, even the sinners got friends. Even the robbers got friends. Even the robbers do things together, man. But go rap with somebody outside of what you know. Just go say hello. A simple hello goes a long way.
And that's the strongest tool or mannerism that you can have on the planet is serving.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's probably one of, it needs more workers. It ain't a lot. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people. Everybody want to be the boss, man. You got to work under somebody to be a boss, fam.
Right.
Go serve.
You know, because you got to learn how to download those attributes and those mannerisms. Now, I used it to my benefit in a carnal way.
Pardon me.
Because I was, you know, at a point where I didn't want to be bullied in school, so I would serve the bullies and they would befriend me.
That is hilarious.
So whenever you said you was buying insurance.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, I bought insurance, basically. So, I served them, whether giving them the shirt off my back. I always had candy and mint on me. I always looked out. I told jokes. I looked out for them. I always look for acts of service, man, to serve them if they needed something. And I'm not gonna say any names, but true story though, man. I remember one of the biggest bullies in the neighborhood, man. He got kicked out of his mom's house, man. Not like for a couple of hours, and I invited him over my crib, man, to eat. Now, I was genuine in asking him, but there was a motive behind it.
Of course.
You know, but I got protection, you know. They see me with him, they they knew not, because I was the only child, man. I wasn't always trying to fight everybody, man. I mean, I wanted to fight her, period. But when they seen me with him, it was a wrap. You know what I mean? So
there is something to that, too, when you're the only child. Ahead. Like, you ain't got no brothers or sisters, so you got to pick your fights wisely. Because the worst thing you can hear is, I'm going to go get my big brother. Oh. You ain't even got one, cuz. So there's something to that.
My cousins, they don't drive. They mom got to bring them over to my crib, you know.
You gotta be wise out here picking these fights, man.
I got a big family, but I'm like, you know what? I need some insurance, man. So, but once again, service or serving people, that's the strongest attribute that you can have. I mean, all the CEOs are servers.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, you know, the late Steve Jobs, so many people, man. Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, is somebody who serves, man.
MLK.
MLK, Diddy, you know, Jay-Z, my pastor, John F. Ramsey, a lot of people John who serve, Perkins. Man. Shout out to him. Shout out. So serving is the strongest attribute, man, because it leaves an everlasting impression.
And it's something that everyone can do. Like I repeat, like, you're not gonna be the fastest. You ain't gonna make that many threes like Curry. You may or may not, but you can always be good at you can always increase your servanthood. Always.
Right.
You can always increase the servanthood. So,
and we call that, man, always looking, finding ways to bless people, man.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, and Christ taught us that, you know, when he washed the disciples' feet, man. Nobody above nobody here. You know, pastor, bishop, apostle, prophet, you're all servants.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so,
you all got that waiter's apron on, man. Serve.
For sure, man. So, let's go ahead and call that a wrap, man.
Saran wrap.
Yeah. Call that a Saran wrap. Just want to thank everyone for tuning in. If you're on the Anchor app, you'll hear a song by Origami Beats. It's called Otaku. Super smooth beat. Anything about me, Courtney and I, we love horns, saxophones, and this saxophone is just sweet. So hopefully, you know, you can just vibe to it. And, we just want to say thank you. Courtney, any last closing words?
Yeah, God bless y'all, man. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your ear. Word of mouth is still the most powerful marketing tool as well, too.
Yeah.
So spread this, man. Follow us on Instagram at The Finished Works Brand. And then on the website, finishedworksbrand.com. Check out the merch, a little bit of background on Jay and I as well too. And until next week, man, this is Milk versus Solid Food. Peace.